Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, do you even know what city you're in?
Not hardly. We've been traveling a lot lately, haven't we?
Quite the whirlwind. We started out in
Dallas.
Then you went to Chicago. And then tomorrow we are in Boston.
Boston, yes. Yeah. And then we're going to Virginia and then back to Chicago. Yesterday in Chicago and the day before was absolutely gorgeous. We were at the front end of the HIMSS 15 conference for the Venture Plus Forum. And I actually didn't work very hard. I was just producing for This Just In, Justin Barnes. We did a live broadcast for like 90 minutes right there outside the forum. Caught up with some old friends, made some new ones. It was a blast. But, you know, not anything compared to what we're going to do this afternoon. This is going to be a great segment.
That's right. Who do we got?
Well, a little bit later in the program, we are going to get a chance to visit with the Scotts. Scott Schoenberger, he's president of Citywide Maintenance of Georgia. And we're also going to talk to VP Business Development with Fulfillment.com, Mr. Scott Magnus. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Senior Director of ATC Data Services with UT. Please join me in welcoming to the program, Mr. Daniel Cozy. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Now, Daniel, we're here to talk about the University of Tennessee Business Analytics Forum.
Yes, we are.
So can you talk about what are you guys doing in Georgia here, first of all? How'd that happen?
So, of course, being a University of Tennessee alumni, go Vols. I joined AutoTrader a while back, but before that, have a long-standing relationship with both the school, its academics, and its path to success through business analytics and its forum.
So this was, it started out at the university?
Yes.
So that was...
Since fall of 2012, they've been running a business analytics forum for companies and leaders across the country here to come and hear about business analytics, find talent, things of that nature.
Is that are they always looking for talent in that area? There are not a lot of business analytics people out there.
Candidly, there is not. There is it's quite a healthy demand for that talent, but of course the supply is very limited. And so, University of Tennessee has also poisoned itself and changed its academic programs quite extensively over the last several years to start addressing that need more directly.
So now, are they working with companies to create curriculum that is kind of exactly what the companies need?
They are indeed. They even have a capstone opportunity for many companies to partner and gain the research capabilities of the professors, as well as some of the top talent at the school, you know, to pitch in and help solve some real hard business analytics problems.
So how does that relationship begin?
It starts by contacting a person, Julia Ferrara.
So the company that has a need for business analytics, mm-hmm. they would contact somebody at University of Tennessee?
That's correct, and that's Julie.
Julie?
Yeah. Julie Ferrara.
Julie holds
call
the
Julie, and then what, you just tell them your problem you're having or what you're trying to solve?
Well, they start with an engagement, of course. They'll start and put you in contact with the dean and a couple of other folks, some of the fellows there, and begin kind of that discussion. And from there, it leads into a more engagement. And oftentimes, it even gets into internships and other things where they put the talent right in your own office.
Wow. So you can kind of train them the way you need them.
You got it.
And then they're getting their education at
you
the same
got
time.
It. But the forum is a really great place for that that collaboration to happen between companies, to share ideas, foster ideas, and then candidly, trying to influence some of this rich talent out there that's in heavy demand.
So now, is the forum, is that a weekend event or is that an ongoing event?
The next one's April 20th and 21st. It's actually next week, and so it's a 2-day event this year to cover those topics. Really, it's on digital marketing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now can you share who would be an attendee of that?
Well, there's actually some pretty good folks that are in attendance there. Netflix is in attendance. A couple other folks here.
I didn't mean to stump you.
No, you didn't. You didn't. It did actually stump me for a second.
But this is where it's taking place here in Atlanta?
No, it's actually held in Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, so those interested we'd be able to contact Julie and be able to reach out to her and get the details for it. Or you can go to the website at baforum.ut.edu, utk.edu.
Now, have you always been involved in analytics, or did that field even exist when you were coming through school? I don't mean to call you old.
That's all right. That's quite all right. No, it actually didn't. So I graduated there with a degree in statistics, but then got my degree in MBA here locally. But so statistics is my background. I'm a big data geek right from the home, right of Knoxville. So and that's where the program kind of started, is that in the business school and the economics school got together and started finding, that in this industry, in this line of work, the combination of the two creates a wicked cool science called data scientist.
And then, so when you're attending this forum, what are some of the, it's education or networking or?
It is both. It is both. And so, like I was saying, Netflix and Teradata and other companies too as well, Symphonic and Cardinal all are planning to be in attendance and the speakers there too as well. And they talk about, different topics on digital marketing for this particular forum. And they cover that and staffing and organizational problems and really how to ramp up an organization to execute on these types of this new intelligence field.
So now what's some of the low-hanging fruit for a company to take advantage of when it comes to data analytics?
Low-hanging fruit? Man, it just depends on what the data is. So like at Auto Trader, specifically in Cox Automotive as a whole, there's a wealth of data that's there, from everything from when the car leaves the manufacturer all the way down to when it's disposed of in a scrapyard, all the details. And so that could reach new products, new insights, etc. And there's new insights coming from data from all different walks of industries.
What about, and this specific forum is about marketing?
Right? This one's about digital analytics. So when you think about audience, What if I can begin to customize .com platforms in a way that would allow you to help really create a more relevant experience for them while they're online? Mm-hmm. And that's what, you kind of get some of these insights in the how-tos.
So then from a marketing standpoint, a lot of people believe in kind of personas for different stages of the buying process.
That's correct.
So it can be customized according to whatever stage. The information that appears on the web page can be customized to whatever stage.
It sounds like you need a degree in business analytics.
Is that some of the stuff that'll be talked about at the forum?
That is very much.
All right, but the data itself, isn't it still stored or collected in much the same way it has been for some years? Isn't it more about the innovative ways of pulling it out and distributing it? Is that accurate?
That is very accurate. There's all kinds of technologies today, and big data being an overused word, but new of the open source tools and things like that are ways to harvest. And actually, the big data Hadoop is one that's more commonly known of. But in that vein, it allows something that we've not been able to do in many years past, which is we've handled structured data very well, but we've not handled unstructured data very well. And so when you start looking at unstructured data, so think of it like a paragraph, for instance, in the presentation or this radio broadcast being transformed or transcribed into text right now. How do I find out the meaningful content? You need a bit of scientists and stats to kind of pull that stuff out and create, what's happening in the world in a 2-second soundbite.
Mm-hmm. So now, is there anything you're looking forward to?
Well, candidly, just the topics, the interesting topics and the presenters, they always bring good content and it's so social that it's, it becomes a lot more personable than a typical large forum format.
How many people typically attend?
Well, generally, like even here, there's probably 10 to 12 different companies that'll be presenting or even in attendance. And then you get to meet a lot of the graduate students. And even they've just started up a doctorate degree that you could acquire in 2016. So they're looking to fund that too with some of the transformational leaders out there.
Now, do you have any success stories of people who maybe started working with them, getting interns, and then it actually turned into jobs for some of the kids?
Well, candidly, at Career Builder, I actually hired two of them while being there.
So is that right? No wonder.
Of course, hey, I won't stop. When you can find good talent, you go get it.
Right.
Wherever it lives.
But can you talk about how that engagement kind of evolved and how you were able to kind of try before you buy?
Oh, yeah. So there was a little bit of that as well. So you can do the internship during the summer months with them. You can even do the capstone engagement that I was referring to as a way to really get a sense of those students and find out, which ones are really the best fit for your organization, because culture does matter. and so do the individuals. When it's a great, when you get that both, that try before you buy and their cultural fit,
right?
It's almost a commodity that's, you know, hard to find these days, much less skill sets.
Now, is the challenge of finding this talent, is this a Southeastern challenge, or is this happening all over the country or all over the world?
It's happening all over the world, honestly, but it's primarily focused here in the Southwest. So Tennessee, University of Tennessee, is one of the top 20 schools listed in Business Week and other top-rated magazines and such, to try to really change their programs, their academic programs. Because in my opinion, the talent in the marketplace today, there's, in my personal opinion, if you will, rather than a broader opinion, I think it's really a reskilling process that the U.S. has to be going through at the moment. I ran a Bridge the Skills Gap program to address this very, very thing too, putting people back to work with, you know, really missed skills.
And what are some of the missed skills?
This and the technology and the data.
So it's this higher level math?
It's a higher level math, programming, and then this substantive matter expertise in the industry or in the topical area.
And when does the gap begin? When do the kids stop learning that, or they don't even have the opportunity?
Sixth grade, I mean, early sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Dude, it's like junior high. Exactly. They're learning that. Yeah. And then computers too as well. I mean, when was the last time you put your iPhone or an iPad in front of a small kid, right? It's a matter of minutes before they're doing things and showing you how to do stuff, right?
Right. So it's not that. They like the technology as users.
Yeah. So the question is now how does that get built?
Right.
And how do I get that experience such that it meets your expectations, or better, it exceeds your expectations for return? Mm-hmm. And that return means return on investment.
So the organization that you're with now, they really embrace the idea of you being so involved with all of this? I would think they would, but...
They do. Actually, they actually promote us to be out in the field, because any fresh air that you get changes your perspectives and brings new ideas in, right? A company that doesn't embrace that's more... It's going to be difficult to work with, for me anyway, specifically.
So now the next forum is in April. When's the one after that?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you can go to the baforum.utk.edu website, and they'll give you the dates for that.
There's several a year?
Yeah, they're two a year.
Two a year.
Yeah. But there's several other ways they engage the members of that forum, because companies can also become a membership, subscribe to that forum, and get free entrance to those forums, as well as access to some of these other opportunities, engagements, and newsletters and things of that nature that updates you to the interns coming into the marketplace, or graduates in the master's degree programs or doctorate program.
All right, so I want to make sure that our listeners have contact information, coordinates for either reaching out and having a conversation with you, or perhaps the keeper of the keys that you mentioned at the top of the segment. So a website, phone number, email address, what's the best way for people to reach out? Stay on top of this, make sure they know the dates, and get more information.
Well, the best way to do that would be to go to the website, baforum.utk.edu. And if you don't have that information, you can always contact Julie Ferrara, and that's at jferrara@utk.edu, or at minimum.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming by and hanging with us this afternoon and keeping us up to speed with what you guys are doing.
Thank you for the opportunity to share this great talent.
I know. We're so hungry for that kind of talent. Everybody should check it out. How far is it? It's only a few hour drive, right?
Depends on who's driving. So it's about 3.5 hours.
Right.
So it's 2.5 for you, Leadfoot.
Yeah, not me.
So we're going to have you back the next time you have something new going on, or when you've got a new conference going, and maybe we'll even provide some on-site coverage for it. That seems like the kind of thing that would lend itself to some on-site coverage. Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure will.
All right, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this afternoon, we have with us President, Citywide Maintenance of Georgia, Mr. Scott Schonberger. How's it going down there, man?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Did you learn anything in that last segment?
Wow. I learned I need to know a lot more about math.
Exactly. We all learned that. So what are you guys doing for folks?
We provide commercial building maintenance services to properties across the region, such as janitorial, carpet care, tile care, window washing, those items.
So now, how'd you get into this line of work?
That's a great question. I was with corporate America for about 20 years and ran into the president of Citywide, of the main office, Jeff Odo. Ran into him at one of our buddies' 40th birthday parties. So I'm going to date myself a little bit here.
Just last week.
Right.
Yesterday.
He asked how things were going with me, and I said, well, I'm, you know, still in corporate America, still working for the man. He said, you ought to get into this business. And sure enough, a year later, I end up diving into the building maintenance services business.
So was it everything you dreamed of?
It was. You know, as a lot of your listeners know, there's nothing better than working for yourself. There's a different type of stress level. But at the end of the day, you go home and you say, you know what, I'm the captain of my own ship, and you just work harder and you achieve results.
So now, what was it like making that transition from a corporate employee to kind of master of your universe?
The conversation with the spouse. I want to hear about that.
Right. Well, we did it over a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that was good.
First
play.
And foremost. But no, I can tell you, it was a big jump. It was, you know, I told all my buddies, I'm all in, right? Because you're not working for somebody
right.
else. It's you work hard, you make your own paycheck.
Sure.
So the jump was scary, but I tell you what, it's the old proverbial grab the horns and wrestle it down, and I think I've done a pretty good job at it.
So now, is Citywide, is that a franchise, or is that it's here in town, or it's all over the country?
It is all over the country. And I like to say I bought a business model versus buying a franchise.
Uh-huh.
And it's my job to execute on that business model.
So it's not a franchise?
It is a franchise. It is. But in this business, the word franchise means different things to
right.
different people. So I try to be very clear when I'm talking to our customers and talking to our prospects.
So you can customize the services according to the needs of the customer rather than in McDonald's, they only make hamburgers. You know,
right,
the way the
right. We can customize it, and also I believe we manage it so much different than some of our competition. So
mm-hmm.
We do our best to set ourselves apart, and so it's a great business. It's a great model. It's all about execution.
So now, walk us through what an engagement looks like, because I would imagine most buildings have somebody already doing this work.
You're exactly right. It's one of those where we walk in to buildings or we call on buildings, and it's all about finding pain.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, you know what? If you've got a babysitter and she's great, then don't get rid of her. But if she's causing you challenges, or if you got a guy that mows your yard and something's not right about it and you're feeling some challenges, you're feeling some heartburn,
it might be worth having a conversation exploring some things,
then,
right?
Then give us the opportunity. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, what are some of the pain points you typically encounter?
It's funny. I, you know, back in corporate America, I was always having meetings in boardrooms or conference rooms. I have more meetings in bathrooms and break rooms now.
You're walking around and he's
yeah.
pointing this stuff, right?
And the customer says, this isn't getting done properly. This isn't getting cleaned properly. I'm tired of having my employees come up and tell me that the bathrooms are dirty or the break rooms are dirty. And it's simple things, but it's things that our customers don't like to deal with.
Right.
And they don't like to hear about the paper towels being out. They don't like to hear about the break room floor being dirty. So they want somebody that's going to take that pain, those pain points away from them. And I think we do a great job at that.
So now, why do you think you do such a great job? Are your systems just better?
I think our systems are better, but I think it's all about people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously getting the right people on the bus when you're running a corporation. And, you know, I'm all about showing the customer that we care, showing them some love, showing mm-hmm. them the appreciation that they, you know, they are our business. And so if you just show them that you appreciate them, they're going to be a customer for a long time.
So now, do you have a sweet spot in terms of size of building or type of building?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I would say it's anywhere from 10,000 square feet up to 100,000 square feet, and it's the owner occupied building, and not mm-hmm. to get too detailed in it, but we go after those folks that, you know, maybe an auto dealer, maybe a bank, maybe an office building.
So it's not necessarily like a high rise that's owned by a REIT or something like that.
Exactly right. When I walked into this building, I said, well, nice building, but I'm probably not going to call on it.
Right.
So because it's a whole different niche for that. But mm-hmm. our sweet spot, getting back to your question, is probably those medium-sized buildings.
And so those medium-sized buildings, do they ever do it in-house themselves, or they are always subcontracting out?
Sometimes in-house, sometimes subcontracting. And it's funny, you just want to reach out to them because they may do it in-house, but then come to find out the guy that's doing it or the couple that's doing it is deciding to retire. And
right.
now it's time that they've got to outsource. They got to find somebody. So, you know, our goal and with our organization is just to stay close to all of our prospects. We reach out to them every 30 or 60 days, the typical sales, sales and marketing. But you just never know. Things could be great today, but in 30 days or 60 days, they say, wow, I'm glad you called.
So now, do you ever work with franchises that have like multiple units, or is that a different animal as well?
So you're talking more retail. Probably not.
Or like, say a medical spa or something like that.
Yes. And some of our customers here locally, you know, we do work with Wellstar. Mm-hmm. They've got multiple facilities across the area. So just different types. And when you talk about auto dealers, you know, there's groups that own 4, 6, 10 different dealers, and we'll work with those folks.
So now, what's the most rewarding part of the job for you?
I think just having customers tell us that, wow, you know, I used to change companies every 12 months, every 18 months. And when they say, Scott...
Is that true? They would change that often?
You'd be amazed how this business is plagued with mediocrity. And
if they're changing every year, that's a nightmare for them.
It really is. It really is. And so that's another reason why we're in business, is because there's a lot of folks that don't do a good job.
Right.
They got to be in a lot of pain, though, because it's just the transition of just changing from one to the other. That's really got to be,
exactly,
must really be hurting.
Exactly right. In order to change, they've got to have a lot of heartburn. And it's our goal to find them when they get to that point that, you know what, I'm fed up. I got to make a change.
So now, is your sales and marketing, like you mentioned, these kind of regular touches, is that in person? Is it on the phone? Is it through your website?
It's a combination of all. I'd say mostly the majority of our sales and marketing comes from, you know, walking into lobbies, walking into buildings, as well as we have an inside sales group that touches our prospects at, like I said, every 30 or 60 days. But no, a lot of it is. I know when I started, I was out on the streets. The phone wasn't ringing in my office, and I said, I got to go out and find some customers. So you walk out and you walk into lobbies and say, hey, do you mind if I ask a few questions? And next thing you know, you've got a meeting with them.
And the person who makes a decision in your world is the building manager, or it could be the actual owner of the company?
Yes and yes. It could be a director of human resources. It could be an office manager. It could be the owner of the company. It could be a GM if you talk about an auto dealer.
Right.
Wide range of folks that are in charge of this type of service.
Now, does your target market encompass, are there a lot of them here in town?
As far as prospects,
right.
Yeah, it's funny when a lot of people drive by buildings and just see a building. When I drive by a building, I see an opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Right?
It totally changed the way you see the world.
Oh
now,
my
right?
gosh, I haven't gone to a break room or bathroom the same since I bought this company.
You're like, look at how they do the paper towels here.
Right,
write that
right,
down.
Right. So it's you know, every building that has say over 30 employees in it,
mm-hmm.
we go after it, because the more employees you have, the more people are using the bathroom,
right.
The more people are using the break room, and the more trash there is in the building.
So bathrooms are the key, right? Is that the thing that's gives people the most heartache? If it's not acceptable to their employees or their customers, and it reflects their brand. I mean, it's one of those subtle things, like you were saying earlier, people are going to make an adjustment. If they keep their bathroom messy, what are they doing to my account, or my, what are they going to do for me later on, you know?
Right. I would say bathrooms, break rooms, and really lobbies. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're a customer of, say, an auto dealer, you walk into a lobby or a showroom,
right?
You know, you walk into somebody's building, and if it's not clean, you start to think,
Right. What other things?
Right. Right. What else is wrong? So, there's a lot of things you don't think about, but those are the things that we look at and pride ourselves on taking right. care of.
No, I agree. It's protecting the brand of the company. I mean, that's an important part of the experience of the customer. They're going to make judgments based on what they see.
Right, right. And it's also about keeping the morale of employees up.
Right.
If I'm an employee.
Yeah. That makes sense.
If I'm an employee of a building that's or a company, and I've got 100 different employees here, and I want it to be clean.
Right. So what's next for you?
Growth. Just hard work and continuing to grow and take care of our customers, and then someday handing it over to my kids.
Oh, really? So that was part of your intention, is to have kind of a legacy?
It would be nice, but they've already told me that, Dad, they're not doing it. Yeah. I'm tired of hearing you on the phone at 8 o'clock at night talking about the mop bucket that just spilled. But, no, it's, we'll see after another 10, 15 years, see what happens.
But, and then how are you going to fuel the growth?
Hard work.
It's really
a sales and marketing organization.
Right.
And then obviously once we bring on customers, it's management.
Right.
But to fuel the growth, it's how many folks can we touch? How many folks can we reach out to and possibly bring them on as a customer?
Right.
All right. Before we wrap the segment, I want to go back and see if we can share a little bit of counsel with our friends out there who may be contemplating the idea of leaving the corporate world, starting to do their own thing. Can you share a word of wisdom or two, maybe a don't or a do?
I don't know necessarily a don't, but a do is just work hard. And the thing is, I had a good business model, and it was all about execution. And the old proverbial, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I had a guy tell me that in corporate America, so I guess I learned that from corporate America. But it's hard work, and the rewards are there, but you really just have to run hard and execute on a well-developed plan. And you'll reap the rewards.
And that's what kind of made you choose Citywide, because you felt that their structure and framework were going to help you scale and grow and get to the result you wanted?
Yeah, that. And also I talked to a lot of the some of the other owners. And if you think about this business, first of all, you don't think about it if you're not in it. But I started to research it. You know, there's so much. Every building out there has something to do with building maintenance, or it has some building maintenance needs.
Yeah, sure.
Whether it's cleaning the carpets, whether it's painting a conference room, whether it's fixing a light, whether it's taking the trash out. And you start to drill into it.
You start counting, and you're like, there's an awful lot of these, and I don't need that many of these.
Right, right. And there's a lot of potential in this business once you start to peel back the onion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to give you some analytics to work with before you walk out of here, because I got a
right,
guy to connect.
Right, we're all going to work together after this.
That's right. Okay, so where can our listeners go to learn more?
I would just say visit our website, and that is www.gocitywide.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for sharing with us, man.
Thanks for having me.
You going to hang with us? We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
You bet.
All right, Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am ready.
He's been very patient. He's been nodding his head a lot. I thought I even caught him taking a note or two. It is time to visit with VP Business Development of Fulfillment.com, Mr. Scott Magnus. How's it going over there, man?
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got to jump in there and got a lot closer, Scott.
There you go. Don't let that thing whip you. You're looking good, man. So what have you picked up so far during the conversation?
An interesting conversation. I learned a lot on the analytics side. I think that's a great space.
So tell us a little bit about Fulfillment.com. What are you guys doing?
Fulfillment.com is based in Savannah. We have locations all over the world, and we do pick, pack, and ship services for e-commerce companies, mostly in the B2C, business-to-consumer world.
And then, so what does that mean exactly? Is that like Amazon.com ships my stuff to me?
Great question. Basically, what we really do is if you have a product that you sell online, we typically support customers anywhere from $1 million in revenue up to $100 million in revenue is our sweet spot. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we will take their inventory, they will consign it to us, we'll put it in our, one of our worldwide fulfillment centers, and then when they get an order in real time through web services, API, data calls, we know that their system has an order, and then we pick, pack, and ship it. So if you start thinking about the whole ecosystem, it allows them to just focus on sales and marketing, and we do the back office.
And then so you just are their fulfillment arm of their business?
Fulfillment, shipping. I mean, I would say anything that was in the back office, being able to support that activity. You know, they don't want to do that. They just really want to focus on their website, you know, generating leads like the other guest was talking about, data analytics, where can I spend my money on PPC and SEO, the things that really draw customers to their site. After they do that, the fulfillment side, you know, unless you're a really big company, usually they just don't want to mess with it and they want to outsource that activity.
And then so you're sending the product directly to the individual consumer or you're sending it to the retail store?
Like that's correct. Mostly what we do, I would say 95% of what we do is business to consumer. So in the U.S., for example, we ship a lot through the United States Postal Service, mm-hmm. but we do use some UPS, we do use FedEx, but it's all mostly B2C. I would say mainly what we do, 95% is business to consumer. We do some B2B, so if we had a customer that needed a pallet or something like that shipped, but they're already doing business to consumer, we would probably do that for them.
Uh-huh. But mostly it's that individual order.
Correct.
So now, how do customers even find out about you?
Well, we're pretty well known in this space. If you start looking at the landscape, you have guys like Amazon. What Amazon does is they create website URLs for companies, their own URL in the sense that you can go to Amazon, but your product is listed there. What's happening now is Amazon's sort of backing out of this business.
Oh, really?
So it's creating a big void in the market space. But there are other competitors. But when you look and you do an SEO, just a natural organic search, if you look at fulfillment, we own fulfillment.com.
Right? So that's pretty good
so,
for you.
Yeah, we,
like us having radio.com. I mean,
we paid a lot for that.
We
surely
it was kind
did.
Of important for your yeah. business.
Well, you had me at Savannah, okay? So you got me already. I love Savannah. But when you're in conversations or your sales and marketing team are in conversations, what do you guys represent as your differentiators? Because certainly there is some level of perception, at least among the average Joe, that it's that this service exists in a lot of places. Almost.
I completely agree. I would say honestly, in the market, what really differentiates us, if you look at the big guys, the Amazons, the Shipwires of the world, you know, there was recently an article comparing us to those two vendors, and we won hands down. I can give you the information about the website to go check that out. It is fitssmallbusiness.com. I can also send the article to anyone that would like to see it. But basically, if you start looking at our value proposition, a guy like Amazon or someone like Shipwire, they're so big. When you come in and do business with them, they won't give you an independent account representative. If you try to actually contact them about a problem, good luck.
Right, you're there's not gonna no get, human you're not, beings you're not,
you,
involved.
You,
right?
you won't get anyone. Right. For every account, it doesn't matter how small it is or how large it is. We have an individual account representative. You can reach them at any time. They can take care of your stuff. We do some things that are pretty unique in our software. We have some intellectual property around what we do. So, for example, we have order grouping. So if someone comes in and places multiple orders in a day, we make sure that we group those. We don't ship them out one order at a time. Saves you a lot of time and a lot of money.
Right.
We do some things like address validation. Last year alone, there were over 6 billion packages that were delivered by the United States Postal Service that were not actually valid addresses.
Ouch.
So our software makes sure that there's an address.
That catches it before. Yeah. So now, walk us through a company that would utilize your service. They might have an e-commerce site, right?
That's correct.
And they might be a retail store that maybe on the side does online work as well.
Yeah, I would say most of our customers are doing mainly e-commerce, but a lot of them are bricks and clicks. They have both.
Uh-huh. So now, right now, like say, so maybe they started out at Amazon because that seemed like the easier way to do things. And then what's the pain they're having where they're like, you know what, let's rethink this and let's check out these fulfillment.com folks.
Well, that's a great example. There are a lot of different examples I can give. But on the Amazon side, Amazon's a phenomenal company. We all know that. They're great at what they do. But Amazon's going through a shift right now. They're trying to figure out how to become profitable. As we all know, it's pretty well documented.
But like, I go to Amazon a lot and I'll use Amazon. And then I know that Amazon's not really my... I'm not buying it from Amazon.
Well, that's what I was getting to. So what's happening now for the small to medium business owner, Amazon is not wanting to do it anymore. They just made an announcement in the last couple of weeks that they're going to stop letting you sell your product on their site. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be a big void in the market. People are going to be looking for someone to do it. So that's what we're going to be able to do. We'll be able to support that for people. Now, the issue that customers will have is that if their e-commerce was totally done by Amazon, now they're going to have to, you know, create their own site, create their own marketing.
Right.
Yes. Most of our customers are already doing that anyway. Amazon will still be somewhat in the fulfillment business, but they're going to get out of creating that front end, you know, URL for you to park yourself at.
Right. Because if I'm on Amazon and I need headphones, I just put in headphones and then it lists a bunch of headphones, but they're coming from different companies that are actually sending me the headphones.
Yeah, and the problem with that, honestly, for the vendors has been that if you have a product that's really successful, Amazon competes against them.
So then they're like, hey, we should do that ourselves.
Right.
Like, they're doing all the research.
Yes.
So now the headphone company has to do a better job of getting me to headphones.com.
Right. They have to do what we were talking about, PPC, pay-per-click,
right.
SEO, search engine optimization, what the other gentleman was talking about.
Right.
You have to figure out ways to drive your own traffic to your own URL.
Now, is that, I know you're on the fulfillment side of the business, but is that, do you give them kind of best practices and share some information about?
Absolutely. Especially for the small to medium customers, they need to know.
Right.
A lot of them, what we'll find, typically someone will start a business, they'll be doing their own fulfillment. It'll get to it where they've hired two or three people and they're like, you know, we really don't want to do this.
My garage
is getting
crowded.
They do the math, they don't
crowded.
Know how to do it.
Right.
So they come to us and we show them what we can do it for. And the math is real simple. The ROI is very explainable.
Uh-huh.
And very quickly they decide, you know, I don't need to be in this business, and they allow us to do it.
So now, do you do any food products, or is that a different animal?
We do. Typically what we do, I would say our sweet spot, are things like items that are on crowdfunding. We're really big in crowdfunding for some reason. We just exploded in that space.
Oh, really?
We do a lot of apparel, jewelry. We do a lot of nutraceutical products, skin creams, things like that,
mm-hmm.
Vitamins, things like that. But just a lot of things that would be high volume, low weight type products is what we do a lot of. We can do bigger things, but typically I would say our items are like 5 pounds or less.
So a lot of made for TV, or, you know, you buy them from television commercials?
Exactly. And on the food product side, we do things, but we don't do cold storage. So for example, if you had something that had to be frozen, we don't deliver ice cream.
Right.
And the sales and marketing side of what you do you have a sales force that is outbound, or does your phone ring pretty well, or how does that piece work?
Well, that's a great question. I would say our real go-to-market strategy has been a couple things. We bought fulfillment.com. It's been phenomenal. We probably typically get 5 or 10 inbound leads a day from just people doing a search on fulfillment services. We do a tremendous amount of trade shows. The trade shows have been very, very good for us. People that are doing e-commerce trade shows or vertical trade shows around some of the areas like crowdfunding and stuff like that. And then I also, out of Atlanta, Georgia, in the Regents Plaza, I run sales and marketing, and I have a sales team that reports into me. And we do outbound calls to people that fit basically our target market.
So now what are those trade shows like? That must be wild. All those e-commerce companies, they must have like...
Some of the trade shows are pretty wild. It just depends on which ones you go to. So some of the affiliate summit, for example, I went recently. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty crazy show. So it's like all the companies that are really into affiliate marketing. And you'd be amazed at some of the things that you'll see. We got one young kid I was talking to on the phone. He's doing $1 million profit a month. Ask him if he wanted to go out and, you know, see town and everything. He said, I'd love to, sir, but I'm only 17 years old.
Really?
So he's making that kind of money.
What was his product?
We're in the wrong business, guys, I'm telling you.
What was his product?
He was selling nutraceuticals.
Oh, like vitamins and things like that?
Yeah, he was doing that. No, I'm teasing. We're doing great. I mean, it's great to be able to support that kind of growth in people,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying it's amazing to think that someone that age,
because it really
is about internet marketing and understanding how to do that, right?
Right.
And our customers, really, the guys who really understand that, and do a great job at that, you know, why would they want to mess with fulfillment, right?
Exactly.
They just want more leads
coming in, and you ship it out. Right. They don't even have to think about it.
So you see these affiliate banners on different websites you go to, Yahoo and things like that. When you click on them, they're associated with those guys that are selling those sorts of products.
And then you partner with those kind of groups so that you become the fulfillment arm when they...
Yeah. So, for example, on the crowdfunding, there's some companies that are doing the back office integration and software. Uh-huh. So we're partnering with some of them. Some of them have over 1,000 crowdfunding customers. So we work with those guys. And anyone that touches our customers, we try to figure out how to have an affiliate relationship so we can do, you know, customer swapping.
Good stuff. So it sounds like you guys are just blowing it out now.
It is great. We're really, really growing right now. We're one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. We've gone very, very, very quickly. Our customer acquisition strategy has been great. Like I said, we have offices here in Atlanta, Savannah, United Kingdom, and Canada.
And you're in growing. Savannah because of the port?
We're in there because of the port, but honestly, I mean, it's a great question. Our CEO, our founder, is a young guy, and he was an Army Ranger out of Savannah. And he came out of the Army Rangers and decided he wanted to start his own business, got into some different things. This one worked out, and he grew the business and was able to procure fulfillment.com, and the business is just booming. It does make sense for us to be there strategically for the port,
right?
But that's really the reason that we started there.
And then how big is your space in Savannah? Because I know there's some
It's about 75,000 square feet in Savannah.
Because there's some large supply chain
There's some huge companies there, and we're growing,
space, right?
And we're going to be opening something here pretty soon on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So we'll have West Coast, East Coast for the USA, and then international, we can do it out of Canada or the UK or the US, just depends.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more, the website is fulfillment.com?
Fulfillment.com. You can just go there, and if you fill out the sales information, it'll be sent to me and my sales team, and we'll follow up with you.
And then you will assign a dedicated account person for them, right?
Yeah, the process would be that me or one of my people would talk to you, qualify you, set you up with a contract. Once we do that, then you would be turned over to account management, and daily they would work with you, tell you what your inventory levels were, when you needed to reorder, when you needed to ship us product. So the support and service does not end once you sign the contract.
That's right, because you have to stay on top of the analytics to know the rhythm of when to get more stuff in, right?
Yeah, we don't churn customers. I mean, that's one thing we're really proud of. When someone comes in, they don't go out.
Good stuff. All right, so fulfillment.com, ask for Scott.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.